Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, David James, reunited.
And it feels so good.
I figured one of you would do that.
Yeah, she knew it was coming. You know what? I'm just looking at, because they're playing a PGA championship. And this is one of the things that I sort of kind of was weirded out about as an athlete. When you're walking into the stadium right before the game, they put the camera in your face. It's like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to just keep walking? Am I supposed to say hello? Because yeah. I see Schaefer walks in, and I think that was McIlroy that walked in. It may have been. And the camera's right in their face, and they're just like, just walking like, okay, what am I supposed to do? One guy smiles and waves. I don't even know if it was people on the other side of the camera or not. He just waved. But that is awkward. One by one, they're just videotaping you.
You know, it's also one of the shots that every game has now, especially playoff games, but a lot of big games too. They get the players walking off the bus.
Yes.
Like, what do you do? Do you look right at the guy? Do you say, hi, Mom? Or you just act like the camera's not on you? Or, you know, you have your – some guys like to come in with, like, a strut in. They got an outfit. They want people to see.
Are you supposed to change your walk? Like, when you see the camera, are you supposed to give it the cool walk? Like,
yeah.
Because they're going to slow it down some, too.
Yeah, you can see the guy. Like, we're on the bus, the broadcasters, and they show the you can see the cameraman shooting the guys.
Yeah.
Then the funny part is when the broadcasters get off, the camera guy says, oh, that's the end of the players. Let's put the camera away. So you're like,
I'm ready
to get my shot. And they turn the camera off. Come on, man.
You're ready to get a strut on.
I want to get on there.
You want to get in slow motion?
I'm on the cutting room floor.
Willie, I'm just glad that you knew how to get to work today. The one thing I learned about not hosting the show with the two of you this week is that when I'm not here, Willie loses all sense of direction, apparently. Yeah.
It was a really sad day yesterday. Yeah. It was one of the dumbest things.
Did you get picked on when you went home?
Oh, yeah.
I had to hear what Aaron said.
Oh, man.
Really, oh, Willie?
Yeah. I said, did you hear the show? And she was like, yes.
Willie Donick. Hold on. Because every time, and people, if you've been around Aaron, the sweetest person in the world, but she calls Willie by his full name when I'm around.
Will.
Yeah. Will Donick.
It's always
Will. Did she
call
you Will Donick, at home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She didn't go William?
Will
no,
Donick.
She doesn't do the
Will
William.
Will Donick?
Yeah, she doesn't do the William. Very few people, for me, have done the William, but it's always Will.
Will Donick.
Will Donick.
Just call you Will Donick at home. So you when you
so just a lesson.
You hear that name? Do you? Yeah. So
if you tuned in yesterday, well, of course we weren't on at 11 yesterday anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you missed this, I hit the wrong button on my Waze because you know traffic patterns could take you in different directions. We just want to make sure there's not a big wreck on the way to the show, and I hit the wrong button and it sent me somewhere north of town. And it kept so the Waze kept telling me to go. This way and around. I'm like,
hey, Adam,
this isn't the way to work.
Where did you say what happened about the turkey?
I said it all started with the turkey. Was trying to get him back toward Portland.
Yes,
where we bludgeoned the turkey with his car a couple of weeks ago. They were setting a trap for Willie.
They were about to jump you,
that's
Willie.
That's what it was. That's obviously what it was.
And I'm all for it too. I would have loved to see it.
But I walked outside this morning and the weather's a bit ominous, right? It's overcast.
I like it.
Right.
There's that breeze that usually warns us that some sort of storm is rolling
right.
in.
Right. The squirrels and the birds know it's coming.
They're right.
Like you can see them wrestling around like it's coming. It's coming.
It's a bit ominous. It's a bit foreboding, which means only one thing. Jared Stillman is back on the radio.
The storm came rolling in.
And we'll talk to Jared at the end of our show. And I have two bones to pick with Jared Stillman now that he's back from vacation. So we'll do that at the end of the show. So understandably, there's been a lot of discussion about the NFL schedule, the Titans schedule. Stop me if you've heard this one already. The Titans have zero primetime games.
How many?
Zero primetime games, along with the Cleveland Browns and New Orleans Saints. And Mike North, who is the NFL VP of broadcast planning, he's been making the rounds on podcasts and such, talking about the process.
Why would anybody want to have that guy on a show? I don't get that. That's me.
Regardless, he's been making the rounds on podcasts and such, and one of the questions he has been asked multiple times is why the NFL did not give Cam Ward and the Titans a primetime game this season. Here was Mike North on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast explaining that decision.
One of the criticisms I've seen so far, Mike, of the schedule is no primetime games for the Titans, despite the fact that they had the number one overall pick and they took Cam Ward. And maybe perhaps some of that is because people don't think Cam Ward and the Titans really got their due on draft night, and that maybe it was overshadowed. How tough was it to not give the Tennessee Titans any primetime games, knowing that they had the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, it wasn't intentional. I mean, you know how this works. We've got probably a dozen schedules in front of the commissioner in that last week. Some of those had the Titans on Monday Night Football. Some of them had the Titans in the TBD pool for Saturday for the NFL Network. It wasn't a conscious effort going in, maximum zero Titans primes. It was more about a mixture of all the rest of what has to go into the soup. You know, you don't draft your way into primetime. You play your way into primetime. So just because you had the number one pick doesn't mean you automatically make the primetime schedule the following season. But certainly fan interest will be there. I think they're on national television in the preseason, so at least fans will get a chance to see Cam play then if he's playing. But I'll tell the Titans and I'll tell the Saints and I'll tell all the teams what we tell everybody. Nobody knows anything. It's sports. It's the NFL. It's the beauty of the league, right? There's four or five playoff teams every year that finished last in their division the previous season. There's always something like that. So you've got every chance to play yourself into bigger television windows, whether we flex you to a Sunday night or a Monday night, or we expand the footprint of your game on CBS on Sunday at 1 o'clock. You can get to 60, 70% of the country on a Sunday afternoon if yours is the game that matters. So they've got every opportunity, just like every other team, to play their way into bigger windows. And look, I hope they surprise us every year. Somebody surprises us, right? 2 years ago, we didn't put the Texans on national television.
All right, enough of this guy.
That's
Mike.
Basically
wow.
Okay.
Who the heck
this
is this guy?
This dude basically said he gave the Titans the middle finger.
My favorite part
he
was
he just gave everybody in the city, you know what? Shut up and sit down. That's basically what he's saying.
This guy looks like he spent his whole life getting ready for these interviews. Like, goodness. I can't wait for them to bring me on the show so I can talk about how I made the schedule.
My favorite part was, they're on in the primetime in the preseason. Which is true. On August 22nd, they have a 7 o'clock game against the
Every
Vikings.
Team plays at 7 o'clock damn near in preseason.
I thought I was going to hear like a real shy, like behind the scenes, nerdy guy, you know, who spends the time under the computer. That guy sounds like he wanted to be a talk show host.
Man.
Or like a public speaker. Like, who is this guy?
Look how disheveled he is. That's him on the right.
That, you know what? He's upset because he has to do that. They said, you do it. Go tell them.
He was enjoying
it. I know
that.
He enjoyed it, but he was like, no, you go tell them. And he was like, seriously? He's like, yeah, go do it.
Why are we
You
doing
know
that?
What? Listen.
Bradford on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, what a piece of poop, except he didn't say poop.
I know. Titans, listen. Amy, listen. The NFL has just told you what they think about your organization and your city. They're glad you're making money. But they just told you what they think about the city and the organization. They sat here and they said, you don't draft your way into any primetime games. You don't? You don't. I mean, I'm sure Caleb Williams had primetime games.
The last number one overall pick quarterback who did not have a game in primetime was Cam Newton in 2011.
So Caleb Williams
stepped into all kinds of
Trevor Lawrence, exactly. Trevor Lawrence. All these teams that were picking number one, they were bad the previous season, right?
Yeah.
But they were awarded primetime games. That's the most asinine statement I've ever heard from the NFL. Well, one of them. I ain't going to say that's the most, but it's one of them.
Well, schedule rules have changed, right? At some point, every team had to play at least once in prime time.
That used to be the rule.
Yeah.
So that plays into
And they usually
well.
Would put those teams
they counted the Thursday night game.
They put Thursday night. But my thing is, listen, it's almost like you didn't prepare for the backlash that you were going to get. So it was like, okay, let's say this without really thinking about it. You can't draft your way into a primetime game. Well, frankly, the Chicago Bears hadn't been good in the last 4 or 5 years, and they played primetime games the minute they got Caleb Williams. So when you say things like that, it just sounds like a load of you-know-what.
According to Nick Suss of the Tennessean, Caleb Williams played 3 primetime games last season, not including games in London or on Thanksgiving. Bryce Young played 2 primetime games in 2023. Trevor Lawrence played 1 primetime game in 2021, not including the game in London. Joe Burrow played 2 primetime games in 2020. Kyler Murray, 1 in 2019. Baker Mayfield, 2 in 2018. Jared Goff, 2 in 2016, not counting the game in London. Jameis Winston, 1 in 2015. Andrew Luck, 1 in 2012. And then Cam Newton had 0 in 2011.
See, it, to me, when you make a statement like that, it's like one, you're telling the fan base just to shut up. Y'all not good. We don't care about you. We don't care to put you on. Now, he one thing he did say that I do believe, and I said this yesterday, their schedule is to be determined, TBD, later in the season. So, to me, that always meant if you're doing well, you can get flexed into a primetime game, which they still have the ability to do that, and I do hope that happened. But to not give them at least one game, the number one pick in the draft, a quarterback, I could see if he was a defensive lineman or something, okay. But a quarterback, you don't give them one primetime game and then say, well, they got one. It's in preseason where everybody plays at 7 o'clock in preseason. Who cares?
I have 2 texts to read. Wow. One from Dylan in Antioch, who says, I wasn't mad about not getting any primetime games till I heard that D-bag blather out that nonsense. Chase McCabe on our personal text line said, this sounded like the basketball coach telling me in the 4th grade that, yeah, you know, if you just keep working, you're going to get to play more, knowing good and well he had no intention of ever playing me.
Yeah, they had no intentions on putting the Titans in a primetime game, but then they give us that load of you-know-what. The NFL, they need to do better in this situation. Just do better. Just do better.
Devin and Dixon says, that guy sounds more full of crap than the Thanksgiving turkey. Doesn't care about the city and team and move
exactly.
on, LOL.
That's basically what the NFL is saying.
But he acted like there's this policy that he's, that you don't draft your way. Like, all of these things that he said were not true. Like, you just went back through all of the years. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear in the past you have drafted your way to it. That's not what it was. You should have just said in about 30 seconds instead of a long 2.5-minute diatribe with all these different things that, hey, we just didn't do it. Life's tough.
Right.
I would have respected that more in saying, hey, we're not obligated to put every team on there. I know we'd love to. They can flex their way into it.
Which he did say in other interviews. Not in that particular clip, but he did say in other interviews that, you know, for example, they play the Chiefs at the end of the season. They could flex into that. So he did mention the flexing aspect of it in other interviews.
Yeah, probably after he saw that interview. They were like,
I don't know the order in which those
somebody from the PR team was like, I need to call Mr. North. We need to talk to him a little bit.
We need to rephrase this.
We need to get some talking points.
Exactly.
Get him back on point.
We need to rephrase this message.
You're probably going to be asked why Cam Ward isn't on primetime. Please don't say that they have a preseason primetime game.
That thing you said right there,
take it
that off. Write that. Scratch that off of your talking points.
Who's this PR person? Jordan Hudson?
Jordan Hudson.
They said in Carolina, to bring that up, they said in Carolina, now you got to be very specific when you say Jordan. Because people are going to say, well, which Jordan are you talking about? Michael Jordan or Jordan Hudson?
Oh, yeah.
So you now you got to be you
there
gotta
are
say the whole name.
The Jordan rules and the Jordan rules because Jordan Hudson spells her name with J-O-R-D-O-N.
Jordan. Yeah.
Jordan.
There we go.
The different Jordan rules.
Well, NFL, you done botched another one. Gosh, man. And I feel bad for Titan fans because essentially that's what they're saying, that you guys, your city, your organization, your team, your stadium, y'all not worth it.
I thought they would get at least one token primetime game, a Thursday night game, the doubleheader on Monday night like they had last year. Mm-hmm. I thought they would have one at least. So I was
but
a
are
bit
you
surprised.
Bothered? Like I said this yesterday. I don't really care. I don't. I like the Sunday routine of having them on Sunday.
You're a creature of habit,
I like that. But
no, I'm not
so
upset.
I'm not bothered by it. But it is fun to watch the reaction to this. And then this guy is right out of central casting if you wanted to tick off everybody in Nashville.
He is the total heel right now. I'm not upset. I'm just like, y'all got to give a – that explanation that y'all gave was just a
no, that's the thing that bugs me is he made up all these policies.
Yeah.
It's not true. You don't draft your way into prime time. Well, Caleb Williams was on in prime time a bunch of times last year.
Exactly.
One tweet
just
I
last
found.
Year.
One tweet.
So that's not it. That's not the policy.
It is now, apparently.
Yeah.
One tweet I saw that made me laugh was, NFL said no Cam Ward in primetime when all the world wants is Titans, Jaguars, and Color Rush uniforms on Thursday
night. Right. That used to be the thing, the Color Rush on Thursday night. The mustard Jaguars and the all Columbia Blue Titans.
Yeah, oh well. Titans, they told you what they think.
Remember the Jags had those weird two-tone helmets? Like half of it was gold and half was black. That was
it. Was the front? Oh, wasn't it? Was it the front was one color
was
and the
weird.
Back was another color? Wasn't it?
Or I
was
think it? So. I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
it was.
Sounds.
It was not good.
But we're going to talk about this in the next segment about the competitive imbalance that the primetime schedule seems to create. But I'm just looking at the primetime games for this season. Unsurprisingly, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be all over your television. They lead the NFL with 7 primetime games. The Cowboys, again, no surprise, 6 primetime games. But the Dolphins get 5 primetime games. The Falcons get 5 primetime games.
Wasn't both of those teams bad? They were not good.
Yeah, neither of them were good.
Okay.
But the Titans can't get one. Again, I'm not really that upset about it, but I heard that clip from that guy yesterday and said, man, this is making me really angry for Titans fans. Just listening to this guy attempt to explain the reason behind the Titans not getting a primetime game.
But that's the thing he should have said. It's like, I don't know why he's going on shows. If I'm the NFL, I would just say, that's how we do it. Live with it. Deal with it.
I said out of press release.
You play on Sunday. Your fans will get to see your game for free.
I'll let y'all argue over the press release and not the actual words that came out of somebody's mouth that you heard.
Yeah.
No.
Let's not act like this is rocket science or some philosophical debate that they had. You think they spent time and they're going, well, should we put Cam Ward on primetime? The fans are going to get mad in Nashville. Let's start. I mean, they didn't do any of that. They just put the computer thing in there and they're like, we don't have the Titans on primetime. Is that all right? Yeah, it's okay. Okay, let's go with it. No big deal.
That's all they did. Right.
Hey, they didn't have some philosophical
debate.
The Titans
are not on here. I don't worry about it.
You think somebody in the room said, you don't draft your way into prime time. The Titans, they're out. Cross them off the list.
It's
That's
a TV
our
show.
Policy. Oh, wait. Caleb Williams last year. Forget that. It's a new policy. You don't draft your way into prime time. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on that. Mike North, an incredibly unpopular person who nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew who Mike North was until 20 minutes ago. Now he's incredibly unpopular in the city of Nashville. We'll take your thoughts on all of that. 615-737-1025. Tune in today to 1025 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball. Is the Commodores face Kentucky? Willie Donick.
Oh,
exciting Vanderbilt game last night.
Unbelievable drama at the Hawk. Trailed the entire game. 5-0 after the first inning. Did not lead. Trailed until 2 outs, 2 strikes, bottom of the 9th, 3-run walk-off homer. It was unbelievable. There's something special going on over at West End. It is something. It was something. Great crowd, too.
You can tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores face the Kentucky Wildcats. Pregame begins at 5:45, and first pitch is at 6. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
North
dead.
That's the Titans fan. That was a live look at the Titans fan club in there after the schedule. They want a piece of Mike North.
Mike North, the
They're
NFL.
They're putting the wanted signs right now. If you see Mike North on Broadway, I want to know about it. We're coming after him. Dead!
Mike North, the NFL VP of broadcast planning.
Oh, man.
Titans fans are going to burn him in effigy after hearing that clip about how you can't draft your way into primetime, guys, but you can watch him in the preseason if he plays.
You can draft your way into a preseason primetime game. Yes, you can do that.
Apparently, Nate on our text line says, sounds like he wants to have a show like Jared's. Well, maybe.
Maybe, just maybe. Man, I've never heard anything.
Coming up on Stone and Company, Mike North.
There's that funny commercial where the guy, you know, is always in everyday life commenting on there's a podcast about whatever comes up in his daily life. Why can't you have a podcast about scheduling?
Yeah, might as well.
This guy is ripe for that. He could start the first ever scheduling podcast.
It's going to be called You Don't Draft Yourself Into Prime Time, featuring Mike North. But Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk had a story yesterday with the headline, NFL's primetime scheduling again creates a competitive imbalance. And he writes in part, quote, the selection of primetime games isn't only about imposing on the teams that have been good. The process entails making a guess as to whether a team will be good or at least interesting, regardless of whether the team has a history of playing well enough to deserve the burden. Last year, for example, the Jets had 7 standalone games in the first 11 weeks, including 2 Sunday-Thursday short weeks. The Jets got the chronically short straw, even though they haven't been to the playoffs since 2010. At the time, Mike North justified giving the Jets the scheduling business by explaining that the Jets, quote-unquote, kind of owe us one, after Aaron Rodgers' Week 1 season-ending Achilles tear made their 2023 primetime games far less attractive. In 2024, Rodgers started every game during the gauntlet and beyond, and the Jets went 5-12. This year, the Cowboys have 6 primetime games and a record 4 Thursday games, despite not making the playoffs in 2024 and given their schedule, unlikely to do so in 2025. Likewise, a pair of non-playoff teams who aren't currently regarded as shortlist contenders, the Dolphins and Falcons, have been tapped for 5 primetime games each. Both teams also have an early morning standalone European game. The league apparently is making a bet that Miami and Atlanta will be good. Having 6 standalone games could help make that a self-defeating prophecy. So that's why I find the NFL primetime slate to be so fascinating. Again, the Dolphins and the Falcons, 2 teams that did not make the playoffs last season, have 5 primetime games.
Well, he's telling you right there in that article that, you know, when you're talking about Chicago and Miami, they are not – they're projecting that these teams will be good. They're looking at the Dolphins last year, and they're saying, well, they had a bunch of injuries, was going through quarterbacks. This is why this team was bad. I don't know how they look at Chicago and sort of make that argument, because they're fielding basically the same team that was healthy last season. They're fielding them this season. You know, but with they have a new coach this year, right? Or their new coach was last year.
The Bears have a new coach in Ben Johnson.
Yeah, this season,
But the Dolphins, and I'm talking about the Dolphins and the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons have 5.
Exactly. But my thing is, you look at Atlanta, and you see the marquee players. They have them. The Dolphins have marquee players. And they're projecting that, regardless of what happened to them last year, the season that they had last year, because of the players, they will be much – he anticipates, or the league anticipates, they will be much better. They look at the Titans and they don't see those marquee players across the board. So they don't anticipate them being any better than what they were last season.
To that point, Willie, Mike Florio continues, quote, the league also expects that the Titans, Browns, and Saints will be not too good, and it will be not bad for them to have the routine and normalcy that comes from playing most of their games at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. The Browns will play a standalone game in London. 2 years ago, the Texans played 16 games at 1 o'clock Eastern before landing on Saturday night for the de facto AFC South Championship game against the Colts. Houston parlayed their low profile into a very unexpected playoff berth. This year, don't be surprised if the Titans make a run at the same accomplishment. Overlooked and disregarded, just like number one overall pick Cam Ward was during the draft, the Titans can quietly go about their business, stack wins, and get themselves into postseason contention.
All right, let me ask the former player.
Uh-huh.
And my perspective is as a traveling broadcaster and going through the grind, you know, I'm not playing, but I'm on the same time circuit as players.
And your grind's longer.
And with the Predators in the Western Conference, and Adam, you've been on this grind as well, you know that logistics of getting from point A to point B, the fans don't see that. Mm-mm. And you cannot sit there and say, well, hey, the team got in at 3 a.m. last night, which does happen the night before a game.
Flying from Nashville to Vancouver is not fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, for example, last year there was a flight from Washington, D.C. to South Florida. Mm-hmm. And the team got it. You know, by the time you get to your hotel, it's literally between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You got a game that night. Mm-hmm. That's not easy.
No.
But you can't use it as an excuse, and you say, well, you know, it's the same for everybody. Well, it's not the same for everybody. It's not the same for the Eastern Conference teams as it is for the Western Conference teams, but that is part of it. So let me ask you, mm-hmm. what Adam mentioned in that Florio thing was the good part about not having a bunch of Thursday games, a bunch of Monday games, is you know you're going to have consistent rest and a routine to your schedule. Do you think that is any kind of advantage, or is that negligible? Because you do hear teams bellyache about, well, we got 3 games in 11 days. What the heck?
I mean, yeah, being in a routine, I think every athlete loves a routine. Everybody should really love a routine in a sense. But when it comes to athletes, yeah, you like that routine of playing on, you know, at one time each and every week. But then again, you know, you do want to be on prime time as well. You do want the ability for your family who may live in Detroit or who may live in California somewhere, L.A. somewhere, or who may live in Brooklyn or Manhattan. You want them to have the ability to at least see you play once or twice a year without having to buy a package to see you.
Yeah, or go to a sports bar or something like that.
Yeah, or go to a sports bar.
So that is the one thing,
though. We do like that part.
It is accessible. Mm-hmm. You might have to pay a little extra
or
inconvenience yourself, but you can watch the games.
Players like
easier than you used to be able.
Players like consistency. Players like routine. But players also like to be the focal point on the television, too, for the nation to watch. You don't know how many times, you know, leading up to a Monday night game, especially my first one, it was like, man, everybody get to see me. People back at home in Detroit, people everywhere, because you are the only game in town that particular night.
When you played a Sunday game, let's say it was a road game on Sunday, and then you had a Thursday night game, was that a problem for you
with
recovery? Was that something you felt?
Absolutely. Players complained about it. You would hope that the league wouldn't give you a Sunday night game and then turn back around and give you a Thursday night. You hope they would give you the early game or the midday game on Sunday, and then you play the late game on Thursday, particularly like a 12 o'clock game on Monday, Sunday, and then come back and play it. But players didn't like the turnaround because I talked about this the other day. It takes, because we were talking about Travis Hunter. If I play on Sunday with a Thursday game, this is what happens. Monday is supposed to be my day off too, because it's just watching film. And we shake out, which means run a little bit or do some corrections, which is easy. So that's Monday. Tuesday is our day off. Wednesday, we ease back into it. You can't do that when you have a Sunday
game on Thursday.
So you got to ramp your body back up. Now, the coaches do a good job at trying to taper practice, but you still got to go full speed. Everything still has to be – got to get the timing right. So players do not like a Thursday night – Sunday night, Thursday night game. It's just too taxing on your body.
I don't like the Thursday games. It just flat out. I don't like it as a fan. I don't want a Thursday game as a fan. It's just one more thing. I like watching other sports. There are other sports in the universe.
No, there's not, Willie.
I don't. I if you told me right now there would be no Thursday games other than Thanksgiving, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. So I'm not one of those. Oh, I really hope the Titans get a Thursday night prime time. Forget that.
I
want them on Sunday.
I mean, Sunday, Thursday, Monday.
I'm looking at a lot of practical reasons here, and it starts with me. The Predators play a lot of Thursday games. Okay, I don't like when the Predators play and the Titans play on the same night.
There's a vested interest for you. There's an interest. Yes, because you are calling
back
games.
To me.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It's about my needs.
It's all about me.
It's about my needs. But I'm now, D-Mace is giving us other real reasons why this is. Look at the bright side, people. The players, the routine, full rest. And the Titans perhaps could be at their best.
One texter says, the Vikings and the Falcons, and I believe the texter might mean the Dolphins and the Falcons, since that's what I was talking about. The Dolphins and the Falcons have what the Titans do not. Good fantasy football / gambling players that draw eyeballs.
And that's what I said.
The Dolphins have Tyreek Hill. I mean, I guess.
Tua Tagovailoa, Waddle, Ramsey.
I don't know if Bijan Robinson moves the needle, though, right? For the Falcons.
In fantasy, he does.
Kyle Pitts moved the needle in fantasy.
Drake London.
Drake London moves the
needle.
Certain
guys that are in a lineup every week.
Exactly.
And, you know, people have been known to have more than one fantasy team.
Now, people may be upset with Kyle Pitts because he hadn't been giving him fantasy points. But
this is part of the reason that you watch, so you can get upset.
Absolutely. But they have more what you would call and we would call fantasy superstars. They're superstars. Majority of them are superstars, but when it comes to fantasy, they're fantasy. So people want to watch that.
But how much do you think that actually factors into it? Like how many?
Like players?
Do you think Mike North was sitting in this meeting and going, you know, the Dolphins need 5 primetime games because Tyreek Hill is the first wide receiver drafted in 85% of fantasy football pools?
I'm not sure that they would necessarily phrase it that way, but when you're looking at the two rosters, again, I'm looking at Miami's roster. And this offense, no defense, I'm looking at Miami's roster. I'm looking at Atlanta's roster. And then I'm looking at the Titans' roster. If you had to pick 1 through 3 on which teams you would, you know, relegate to being on national television, the Titans will always finish last. Why? Because they don't have those household names yet. On offense, Atlanta does, and Miami does.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the NFL schedule. Speaking of which, the NFL, it wants that 18th game. And one reporter proposed something that I find to be interesting, and I would love to get the former player's opinion on it. It's called the 18-16 compromise. We'll explain coming up next. 615-737-1025. Tune into 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Memphis. Pre-game begins at 6:50 and first pitch is at 7:05. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063 The Game. I suppose the Titans are the NFL's dirty little secret because they won't be scheduled on primetime.
That's not a secret anymore.
No, it's not. Thanks, Mike North.
Golfers trying to kill people on the golf course over here. I mean, goodness gracious, what's going on in the world, man?
Yeah, a guy hit one out of the rough. This is the PGA Championships. Yeah. And the first big time golf I ever saw, I was in college, and I got to go to the PGA Championship. I'm not a big golf fan, but friends of mine had tickets. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And one thing you notice is how close you are to the golfers. Mm-hmm. And when you're growing up and playing around the golfers that I was playing with.
You ain't that close.
Beginners, hackers. I was never any good at golf. Never spent that much time. But you're taught when you're a kid, do not stand in front of somebody swinging the golf club. Get behind it, right? Or get covered.
Back, yeah.
But when you go to the pros, they let you stand because these guys are so good. Mm-hmm. You stand right in front of them. Then the guy just says, hey, everybody be quiet. Here's the rope. Here's how close you can get. People are right up in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what if this guy hits me? Well, it almost happened a second ago. Guy was hitting it out of the rough. These guys were lined up along the thing. I mean, he shanked it, whacked a tree. It looked like just your everyday hacker out there.
Another foot.
Five or 10 feet, somebody was getting hit right
in the
belly.
Keep your
head
on the swivel, guys.
Yeah. Well, I guess so.
I went to a PGA event a long time ago when I was still living in Virginia. I think it was called Kingsmill.
I thought you were about to say when I was still living. I would say,
yes, I am still alive and well as far as I know. David Duval was one of the golfers.
I like how you worked that in there.
In this tournament, and he hit a ball that landed in somebody's backyard. You know how some golf courses have homes that go right up to the golf course.
Right.
So he had to climb this person's fence.
Oh man.
And take the shot from the backyard, and the owner of the house was watching through the sliding glass door.
I'd have let my dog out.
Anyway, back to the NFL schedule. I found this to be interesting on The Athletic. Matt Barrows, who I believe covers the San Francisco 49ers for The Athletic, he proposed a way that the NFL can get what it wants and the players can get what they want, because the NFL wants an 18-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But as Derek knows, an extra game, as he just explained, a lot of wear and tear on your body. So Matt Barrows, he proposes this idea. He calls it the 18-16 compromise. It's one that expands the schedule to 18 regular season games, but states that players can participate in no more than 16 games. It's a rare everyone wins scenario, he writes. The schedule grows by one game, which brings all the extra revenue from broadcast deals, ticket sales, parking fees, etc. The owners have been pining for. The fans get an extra week of real football. The players, meanwhile, not only won't have to suffer the wear and tear of an extra game, they'll play one fewer game than they've played the last four seasons. So his suggestion, if the NFL expands to 18 games, NFL players, their season is capped at 16 games.
That is
intriguing.
Dumb.
Can I give you some of the benefits he lays out?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I read them, but yeah, go ahead.
He writes, more strategy, more intrigue. Nope. If a player misses two games with, say, a thumb injury, that counts as the two contests he must sit out. Teams might decide to play their top-line players early under the assumption that many or even most will miss games with injuries anyway. Or maybe they sit them early in the season so they know they'll be available during the critical home stretch when teams are jockeying for playoff position. He also mentions more rest, more recovery. The NFL season already goes into February, and an 18th game would make it longer. Having two mandated games off along with bye weeks would serve as rest stops for players. Last season, 49ers linebacker Fred Warner played most of the season with an ankle fracture that was slow to heal because he played on it every week. Warner, who seemed like a defensive player of the year candidate before the injury, was not as good after it. A multi-week hiatus might have given him the time he needed to recover.
You know, one of those back when you were younger, I don't know if you had this, Adam, because you are a little bit younger than Willie and I. But Willie, remember that little black ball they used to have? You have to shake it
up. Yeah, the eight ball.
And then you get, you know,
yeah, the little in like the little blue water.
Yeah, and get sane and all that. And then you shake it up again until you get exactly what you want.
Right. Outlook,
you
know, not so good.
Exactly. So
yes.
I think that's what he did. I really do. I think he shook something up and said, okay, let me see if this will work. Because listen, no way, no how. 16, 18, I know everyone want to come up with a clever way to try to make an 18th game or 18-week season happen. But if it does happen, it's not going to be it's not going to be like that. Because the main reason is this. I pay X amount of dollars every week. The same thing basketball is going through right now. I pay X amount of dollars every week, and I don't care if it was already in the bylaws and y'all collective bargaining it, but I pay X amount of dollars every week. I want my quarterback to play every week if he's healthy. I want my quarterback to play. I don't care about everybody else right now. But right now, I want Patrick Mahomes to play every week. I want Joe Burrow to play every week. I want Jackson to play every week, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud. I want those guys to play every week. I don't want to go out there during the week and say, oh, my quarterback's not out there.
How
the league
this?
Doesn't want that.
Well, Matt Barrows knew you were going to say that, Derek Mason, so he wrote this. So perhaps an exception is made for the faces of the NFL, the quarterbacks. After all, the 18-16 proposal is about player safety, and there are already all sorts of rules to protect quarterbacks.
But then that don't make that – it's not realistic, because the minute – like I said, everybody wants to see their quarterback play. But then it's like those other players are like, not. Nah, it's like everybody should be on the same plane. The quarterback shouldn't have to play 18 games and we only play 16. You know, I want to see the other players. Yes, I want my quarterback out there every week, but I want to see other players out there every week too. There's no reason why I, as a consumer, am paying for y'all not giving me half off on the tickets. You're not giving me half off when they don't play on the television money that I got to pay to watch, are y'all? No. So if you want to go to 18 weeks, 18 games, they need to play all 18. And I'm telling you right now, players are not going to do that. At least that's my understanding. It was my understanding when I played, because they, you know, they talked about ramping it up to more games then. Players didn't want to play that many games because it's taxing on your body. I don't think it's going to go no further than what it is now. An 18th game, that is just, that's a little bit too much. We're trying to get games taken away.
Willie, what are your thoughts on the 18-16 compromise?
Do we agree that they're going to go to 18?
Eventually. It's going to happen.
And I'm with D-Mace. I'm not a fan of that. I think 16 was the right amount. I would have stayed with 16. It's all greed, all of that, because I do think attrition is a big thing, and they have not really accommodated. If you're going to play the extra games, you probably should have extra roster spots, but I think it would have been preposterous to bring this up until the NBA started this load management thing. I think this would be the NFL's version of load management. But I think football players, like hockey players, are wired. A healthy player will not want to sit out. Mm-hmm. A healthy football player will not. He will refuse to sit out if he's healthy.
But then what happens to, like, in playoff scenario?
Like, you should reward you're telling teams me, that are able to stay healthy or lucky enough to stay healthy.
What if we're tied? And then you're telling me I gotta, like, those two guys can't play.
You've already played your 16.
Exactly.
So the two biggest games in the year, game 17 and 18, for those that maybe rolled the dice and said, well, along the line, Derek's going to get hurt probably, and let's just keep playing him because we need to win right now or else we're not going to be in the race. Mm-hmm. But you stay healthy, and then after 16 games, you can't play in the two biggest games.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
That's just not going to fly.
I do kind of like devil's advocate.
I like the creativity, right, the thought of it, but it's
shaking
not
the
practical.
Ball.
The devil, it's to play practical. Devil's advocate, I do like the strategic element of it. Mm-hmm. As Matt Barrow writes, that teams might decide to play their top line players early under the assumption that many or even most will miss games with injuries anyway, or maybe they sit them early in the season so they know they'll be available during the critical home stretch when teams are jockeying for playoff position.
Fans don't like when basketball players do it. And they've gotten it written in that they can, you know, you can miss so many games and still be eligible for certain things. They don't like that. What makes NFL fans are 20 times as crazed as basketball fans? You think they're going to go for this? Like, I can't see.
And there's way less games.
Exactly. And I can't see the NFL, like the diehard NFL fan that is watching this saying, okay, I'm cool with my superstar quarterback or my superstar wide receiver or my superstar defensive end having to, not voluntarily, but having to mandate it to miss two games.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the quote-unquote 18-16 compromise proposed by Matt Barrows of The Athletic. His idea, if the NFL moves to 18 games, players are limited to 16 games. 615-737-1025. We will get your reaction on the other side. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.